my name is Deborah James, and I'm the director of the International Program at the Center for Economic and Policy Research, and I welcome you all today to this very exciting event about the Bank of the South coming on the heels of the IMF and World Bank meetings here in Washington this weekend. The Center for Economic and Policy Research is an independent, nonpartisan think tank that was established in 1999 to promote democratic debate on the most important economic and social issues that affect people's lives. And we have been very active in the debate around reforms of the IMF and World Bank and their power in developing countries for many, many years. As I said, the Ambassador Gustavo Guzman will be here in a second, and the way we're going to proceed today is that I'm going to ask our director, Mark Weisbach, to give a few introductory remarks. And then we're going to hear from Minister Rodrigo Cabezas, who I will then introduce, and then we'll also hear from Ambassador Gustavo Guzman from Bolivia, and I will introduce them right before each of them speaks. So to introduce Mark Weisbrot, he is an economist and the co-director of the Center for Economic and Policy Research. He received his PhD in economics from the University of Michigan and is the co-author with Dean Baker of Social Security, The Phony Crisis. He has written numerous research papers on economic policy, writes a regular column that's distributed to 500 newspapers throughout the country, and his columns on economic and foreign policy have appeared in most of the major papers in this country. He also appears regularly on national and local television and radio programs, and he's also the president of Just Foreign Policy. So I have Mr. Mark Weisbach give us a few introductory remarks. Thank you.
Thanks. I want to thank everybody for coming.
You have to push the button, Mark.
That probably helps a little. Okay, so I'm just going to be very brief here, and a lot of people are familiar with our work. If you want to see more of it, we're at cepr.net, and everything, a lot of what we're talking about today, you can find there. I want to thank everybody for coming, especially the minister who came here all the way from Venezuela. We really appreciate it. His attendance and Ambassador Guzman from Bolivia. And we have Ambassador Alvarez from Venezuela as well. So thanks to everybody. I think this is a very historic thing that's going on. I think one of the, I could talk about this for a long time, but I just want to make two points. The reason for the creation of these alternatives, and this is what this institution is, it's an alternative to, a practical alternative to the existing international financial institution. And one of the reasons for this creation is that attempts to reform the existing major international financial institutions, the IMF and the World Bank, in particular, the Inter-American Development Bank, these have not really borne fruit over the last 20 years or so. Many people here I see in this audience have worked on these issues for many years. They have not changed either their policies or their governance. Now, the governance you can see very easily in recent events. For example, when Paul Wolfowitz, when he was appointed, of course, it was a slap in the face even to the Europeans, who have little voice in the World Bank and the IMF, even though they could theoretically, with Japan, outvote the United States. They haven't done so in the past 63 years. So it was an indication that the United States is still continuing to use these institutions as an instrument of their own foreign economic policy. And this happened again when Wolfowitz was forced to resign. Another neoconservative, Mr. Zollick, was appointed, again, with the majority of the countries in the world demanding to have some voice, and they received none. And again, for the replacement of the managing director of the IMF. Once again, there were demands for more, some voice for the majority of countries. There are 185 countries are members of these institutions, but as everyone here in Washington knows, they're overwhelmingly controlled by the United States. And that's why I do find it ironic when this new bank, which now has the participation of the Bank of the South, of the vast majority of the population of South America, seven countries plus Colombia has indicated that it will join, And Minister Cabezas will describe the governance structure, but it's clearly based on a one country, one vote structure. And yet this is described as Chavez's bank, whereas nobody describes the IMF and the World Bank as Bush's bank, when in fact that is much closer to the truth. So the governance has not changed, and the policies have not changed. And as I've said many times at these events, you've had a vast slowdown in economic growth, actually, in the overwhelming majority of countries, low and middle income countries in the world. Latin America was particularly hard hit. They've grown only, 14% per capita in the last 26 years, as opposed to 82% from 1960 to 1980. These are huge historic failures. And this is the reason, it's also the reason why the WTO negotiations are breaking down as well. Countries throughout the world are looking for alternatives that will actually restore reasonable rates of economic growth. So development policy and lending, development lending is part of this. I just want to, just to emphasize this point, that this is a joint effort, I want to read to you a quote which you may not have seen. From President Lula da Silva just 1 week ago, where he said, developing nations must create their own mechanisms of finance instead of suffering under those of the IMF and the World Bank. There is no place for developing nations in the World Bank and the IMF, he said. It's time to wake up. We must take stronger action. So that was the President of Brazil. And so this really is a joint effort. I think Washington is probably one of the few places in the world where people continue to pretend as though the existing institutions are really promoting development on behalf of their member countries. So I could go on for this for a long time, but I'm going to just stop there. I think, again, the failure of governance and the failure of policy are the two major things that have motivated this. The world is changing quite rapidly, and this is a historic change as well, the creation finally of an alternative that is will be run by the countries of South America for their own interests. Thank you.